This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
The House Committee on Transportation will now come to order. I want to welcome everyone who's checking in with us on the Internet and all those here in the room. And please have the have new pages this time. So, oops, and they're all gone right now.
Mr. Chair, I had them doing an errand for me. I didn't know we were going to get started. So I'm the guilty party. Thank you.
Well, just remind me when they come back so that we get them introduced, okay? Just poke me. I'll put my... I want to remind everyone to get your electronic devices off or on buzz, your cell phones in particular. And we'll have the secretary call the roll, please.
Representatives Feikert,
here.
Schrempp,
here.
Bolin,
here.
Kaiser, excused, Rasmussen,
here.
Rounds,
here.
Schaefer,
here.
Schoenbeck, Stalzer,
here.
Steinhar,
here.
Werner,
here.
Duvall,
here.
Virchio,
here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And now I would entertain a motion on the minutes from the meeting of January 28th. Moved by Rounds, seconded by Feikert. This is a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. I think everybody's probably signed in, I hope. And, did you bring enough for everybody?
Did the one for
it. I get to go first.
So if you do want to testify, please sign in. And if you're a lobbyist, make sure you have the correct badge on, because you know how closely I inspect those. If you have any handouts, when they get here, here we go. This is one of the pages that if you have a handout that you'd give to distribute. Do you want to stop and introduce yourself here? Oh, you're kidding. You sent her to get you a Coke? Oh, that's different.
It's okay, then. It's got doctor in
there. Tell us your name and where you're from, and if you know, your plans for future education.
Actually, my name is Kylie Kirchel. I'm from Sturgis, and I'm a senior at Sturgis Brown High School. And next fall, I'll be attending SDSU and going into the School of Nursing.
Very good. Noble profession there. And when your partner gets here, we'll handle that one, too. I'm not real tough on this one, but direct as many questions as possible through me. I'll probably just nod at you so that you could just answer questions and carry on a normal conversation unless it gets out of hand, and then I might get a little more interested in following really exact procedure. Okay, so we'll move right into the bills. First one is Senate Bill 35, Update References to Certain Federal Motor Carrier Regulations, brought to us by the Transportation Committee and the Department of Public Safety. We have a very familiar face coming up here, a gentleman who shares an extremely important haircut with me.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
Members of the committee. My name is John Broers. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Division of the South Dakota Highway Patrol. Today we wanted to talk about Senate Bill 35. This is our annual update of the Federal Motor Carrier Regulations and rules. We do this every year just to make sure all the motor carrier industry has the same set of rules as they drive across the country, since they are interstate in nature. This year, there's just been some minor changes. They didn't make a grand overhaul of anything. There was a handful of rules that just literally made corrections. They were just technical errors, organizational errors, literally changing paragraph B to paragraph C, some of those type of things. Had no effect on regulations. It didn't add any regulations, and it didn't subtract any regulations. They implemented another phase of the National Medical Registry, and what that is the medical cards. And what we're doing here, the end result of this program, is to make it electronic. the states now have to record the medical card information on a person's commercial driver's license. And what this does, it keeps the medical card from being required to be in possession of the driver. It attaches it to their driver's record. So if an inspector stops somebody on the roadside, it's on their driver's license that, yes, this person is medically qualified. The medical qualification lasts or expires on this date. And that's all the information it gives us, but it meets those requirements. This is just an advancement of that where currently the drivers have to submit that medical card information every time that they're required to have one to the state in paper format. Some states might have some other ways to submit those medical cards, but the driver has to go do that. What they're doing now is there's already a medical registry that has all the doctors that are certified to do these types of physicals. So what it does now is it has the physician or their staff enter that into the medical registry. So then it's automatically transmitted to the state, and there's no getting lost in between the patient and the driver and the state. It facilitates that information process. Now, this doesn't go into full effect until June of 2018, but they made that final rule set up now, so that's why it's under consideration for you folks. But it also tries to combat fraudulently issued medical cards or just plain fraudulent medical cards. It puts that into the doctor's hands where they transmit it to us. There's an economic impact to both the motor carrier industry as well as the state, and that's in the good direction. It takes that paperwork process out of the motor carrier and saves them time, money, and effort, as well as it does the state, because that information is being automatically fed to us. There was a significant rule published in December as far as prohibiting driver coercion. So as it exists now, if a motor carrier official tells a driver, yeah, I know you've driven for 20 hours straight, but you're going to finish this load to here, or I know you've never tested or are qualified to drive this type of motor vehicle, you're going to do it anyway. What it established was some ways for Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, upon receiving one of those complaints of driver coercion, to violate these laws. It established a process and some penalties for those motor carriers that force those drivers to violate those laws or lose their job. It also was hand-in-hand with the electronic logging device rule that also came out in December of this year. It requires an electronic logging device for drivers that are currently required to prepare paper logbooks. There are exemptions provided. There's no new hours of service regulations. Nobody's getting less time to drive nor more time to drive. It's simply taking the paper format and turning it into an electronic device. Some folks are exempt from these logs. If you're currently exempt from paper logs, you continue to be exempt from the electronic logbooks. If you use a paper log less than 8 days a month, because you may be required to for certain trips, and then later on you wouldn't be required to keep track of a daily log, if you do that less than eight times or less a month, you still don't have to do the electronic logbooks. When the commodity that's being delivered is the truck itself, so if you've gone down the interstate and saw those semi-trucks piggybacked on top of each other, those are trucks going to a dealership for sale. Those folks aren't going to have an electronic device installed in that truck. And the biggest exemption would be for those driving trucks with a 1999 model year and older. Those folks are exempt simply because the truck doesn't have the technology inside of it to tell the electronic logbook what it needs to know. So I in the end, I think that just made 1998 vehicles very expensive, kind of a hot commodity maybe for a while. But those folks would be exempt. There's a transition phase, just like anything. It's going to start on February of 2016, but that rule went into effect in December of 2015. But starting February 16th, there's a two-year time limit. You have to, if you don't have any form of electronic logging devices now, you'd be required to have install those in the trucks. And if you have what's currently called an AOBR, or an automatic onboard recording device, that's the old model of this new one. If you currently have those, you can keep that in use for a total of 4 years, and then you have to convert to the newer models. So there's technical specifications that these have to meet. They're there's things that it's supposed to be able to do and things that it can't do, such as when the vehicle is in motion, it logs it down as driving. The driver has to be able to determine or enter in the information that they have a login information. They'll enter that in, and then it's got to be able to say, well, I'm on duty, but I'm not driving. I'm loading the truck. So those hours don't get counted against their driving time, things like that, just because you turn the key on. It also has to have a mute button. Some of the devices will have the technology for the owner of the company to contact the driver. Say, hey, call me, send any kind of message. It's got to have a mute button so that that driver can hit that mute button and get a good 8 hours of sleep in the sleeper berth. It's part of the. It was a big component of the driver harassment. And that was coming from the drivers themselves, that if the boss is calling every 2 hours in order to tell me where my next load is or where my load is next week, I'm not getting good sleep. So that was added on to it as well. Like I said, there's no new hours of service rules. If you had 11 hours to drive before, you still have 11 hours. Industry-wide, it's expected to save the industry $1.6 billion. Now, there's going to be all sorts of models to choose from, but the economic benefit is estimated. Even the one truck operation, that would save about $700 a year for that operator. Now, the market's going to take care of this. There's a minimum specification that these devices have to meet. It's the way I explain it is that you can buy, if you got to get from point A to point B, you can buy a moped or you can buy a Ferrari. It's your choice on how you get from one point to the other. The moped meets the minimum standards. It will record the information that it's needed, and it's very inexpensive. If you want a Ferrari, that's completely up to you. On my end, the enforcement side, it tells me the exact same information. But many companies are using this as a very robust fleet management tool. Some of the devices will be able to tell, oh, the truck needs an oil change, or the truck's going to need fuel soon. Cylinder number two is misfiring every 400 RPMs. It's as much as the truck technology will tell it and as much technology as the owner wants to use. I still get the same information on the side of the road as far as the hours of service compliance. I still get this guy's been driving for this long. This driver, she's been driving for this many hours for the last week. I get the same information whether it's the moped or the Ferrari. So as such, the cost is going to vary widely. It's expected to be as low as $50 to meet the minimum requirements. It can be as simple as an application on a smartphone with a cord that connects to the truck. It can be all the way up to a laptop computer that's installed in the truck that has all the fleet management tools that are available to that company. So they can direct their driver, plan loads, all fuel mileage, things like that. So it's entirely up to them on how far they want to go. But the bare minimum compliance is should be extremely affordable for the average driver all year long. That's the major changes. The minor ones, like I said, I wasn't going to bore you with this paragraph change from B to C, things like that. I'd be happy to stand by if you have any questions about what some of these new rules do to South Dakota motor carriers and interstate motor carriers that are traveling through South Dakota, if you have any questions.
Thank you. Nice presentation. We hear this every year, but there might be some more people who would like to be proponents for this legislation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And I always like to remind everybody that long title means I represent the gas station guys, the bulk petroleum and propane wholesalers, and bulk trucks that would deliver home heating fuel or ag fuel to your farm. As always, we stand in support of this bill. It's important that we have the same rules as states that surround us, because we don't just go to a pipeline in South Dakota to pull fuel. We go all over the place, sometimes as far as Texas. And it's easier for us to move from state to state if everybody has got the same set of rules. Just briefly about the electronic logbooks, I presently have some members who are already doing electronics that way, and they do like it. It's less paperwork for them. It's easier accessible. And so we feel these are all positive changes, and we would encourage you to support this bill, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any further proponents? Mr. Rao.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Transportation Committee. I'm Myron Rao, president and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. We traditionally come forward, as you know, to support this legislation and are again. I just want to spend a few minutes talking about electronic onboard recorders. For those of you that are either in the field or have clients or friends that are in the trucking industry, this is not a popular thing. and when it went into, and it was a FAST Act, result of the FAST Act, and my phone was ringing for about 4 days constantly, and they all think the sky is falling. They think that it happened yesterday and that we weren't involved in the debate. We were, as an association, involved in the national debate. We ended up losing, which that happens. But they're concerned that they no longer can haul, and this is a quote, "I can no longer haul cattle from Lemon to Texas." Well, if you couldn't before, you can't today, or vice versa. The rules of the road have not changed, or their hours of service have not changed. It's just that you got an electronic device logging that today, and that's something the industry is going to have to get used to. And they're going to have to retool and do some things and put some teams in the trucks. We can certainly make it happen. It's in the best interest of safety. But I just wanted to mention that to you as members of this committee, because if you got those calls or get those calls, please have them call me. I've got enough of a story memorized that I can kind of talk them down off the ledge. So that's all I have. I appreciate your time, and I hope you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Senate Bill 35. Further proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 35? Okay, seeing none, I guess we won't need any rebuttal, will we? Any discussion and or action or questions from the committee? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for Mr. Browers. And thank you again, Mr. Chair. Mr. Browers, I'm curious about the prohibiting coercion section of the bill or the changes. It states there's penalties for these violations. Could you tell us what the penalties are?
Mr. Chairman, I can give you general figures. Most federal motor carrier violations start at $500. If they were compelled to go into a company and perform what's called a safety audit or compliance review, in this case, the complaint would have to be logged by the driver. They would have certain steps to go through to make it an official complaint. And then the FMCSA would go in and investigate that. And my best knowledge of those, that side of the regulations, is the fines would generally start at $500. And then they could go up depending on how egregious the situation was.
If I may follow up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Is this something we see in South Dakota, this coercion problem that they're trying to prohibit?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's a widespread issue. We do get calls from drivers on occasion saying, "What do I do? My boss is making me drive this far. I don't have a license for this truck, but yet I'm going to get fired if I don't drive that." I receive the calls probably, just general numbers, I might get 8 a year. That of a driver that's complaining about that. It's kind of out of the state's domain as far as motor carrier enforcement goes. That goes to the Federal Motor Carrier Administration to do those compliance reviews. So we refer them to those folks, or maybe the Department of Labor on some of them that become employment issues. But it does happen. I wouldn't say it's a regular thing, though.
Representative Feigert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have a question for Mr. Browers also. If a motor carrier or motor carrier vehicle or a highway patrol stop a truck, and how do you retrieve that information that is in the computer or on an iPhone? What would be the process for that,
Mr. Chairman? It requires us to be able to accept the information. We're already set up for that. They would be able to email it to us. And it's required to display a chart just like the logbook pages do now. And they can literally
show it to us. I mean, it's that simple. It's got to be able to display that graph that we look at now, or they can transmit electronically. There's some technical specifications that, frankly, I'm just going to let our computer folks handle, but they can, such as Bluetooth communication, if we have a device that will receive that transmission, we can do it that way. The state can already comply because there's some minimums that we have to do, but one of them is they have to be able to email it to us. We've got an email account at every port of entry that they can do that, as well as the enforcement folks that are on the side of the road have that. So they already have a computer to do the paperwork that's required on these inspections, so they would just be getting an email, or they can literally show us the device.
Follow up. Thank you. So basically the additional cost to the Department of Safety isn't amount to anything, or is there additional cost tied to this now, this new regulation?
Mr. Chairman, I'm counting zero cost to the state. We are able to, if we choose to, purchase devices that may make it a different way to transmit those things, but we already have the infrastructure in place now that we can receive that information just fine.
Can I do another follow-up, sure. Mr. Chairman? Thank you. You had mentioned that trucks older than 1998 would not be required to have the capability of doing this. And I guess my curiosity is, and this might be a question that might go to Myron Rao also, but I guess I can see the potential probably for refurbishing trucks. I mean, if the value of an older truck now is going to increase because of the fact, and I mean, I can't imagine that people are going to just run out there now and buy trucks that are 1999 or 98 and older, but at the same time, you might have that happen on occasion. Is there anything that requires on a refurbishing that this equipment be available in that vehicle or in that truck?
Mr. Chairman. It's not addressed in the final rule that I'm aware of about how to revamp a truck. You can take a body off a truck now and put it on the chassis that's brand new. I personally don't see it as going to be a huge issue. Yeah, I think for a while those trucks might be a little more sought after, but I think it's one of those that this is just a change on some daily operations, so it's going to take some getting used to. I'd have to let Mr. Rao talk about if he thinks there's going to be a wholesale move to do that, but my understanding of those federal rules is that if that truck is registered as a 2001, it's going to have to comply. If it's that truck's registered as a 1997, for example, it wouldn't have to comply.
Thank you.
Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you just enlighten us just a little bit on what would happen if we failed to pass this bill?
Mr. Chairman. Eventually, we would lose highway funding. The first year that we're found to be out of compliance would be $10 million to the highway fund. After that, it would be just over $20 million per year. That funding never comes back to us. It's reallocated to other states that do have compliant regulations. So it would cost about $20 million a year once we're found to be out of compliance.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Any committee action? Representative Rounds.
Mr. Chair, I'll move a due pass on Senate Bill 35.
Okay, moved by Representative Rounds, seconded by Representative Boland, I believe it was. Right. Senate Bill 35, then, has got a motion for due pass and seconded, and this updates references to certain federal motor carrier regulations, and we'll have the Secretary call the roll, please.
Representative Feikert.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
Kaiser. Excused. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Werner?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Virtue?
Aye.
We have 12 yay, 1 excused.
Thank you. Senate Bill 35 will be sent to the floor with a due pass motion. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we see our second page is here. If you'd come up and tell us your name and where you're from and what your plans are, if you know, for after high school.
My name is Lindsay Effling. I am from Britton. I go to school at Britton Hecla. I plan to go to SCSU for nursing. And that's about it.
Thank you. Kids from Madison are leaving, I guess, as the high school student council here to observe. We got a new group coming in. We'll see. Do you have a spokesman? Does somebody want to just tell us who you are and you're here? Okay. Very good.
It's Alex. It's here.
Okay. We're going to switch this around a little bit since this one bill, 1113, is sponsored by one of our other representatives who's in the room now, and make sure and get that one out of the way so that he doesn't have to. I know he's very entertained by this committee, but so we'll skip to House Bill 1113, provide for the transfer of motor vehicles to a nonprofit organization in certain cases. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1113?
Mr. Chair, Alex Jensen here representing the 12th District, and I also passed an amendment out, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if I could work on the amendment and then talk about the bill.
Certainly.
Okay. The amendment, as you can see, and it's been passed out to all of you, would, in on page 4, line 2, after organization, insert that is exempt under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. And then it also, just below that on page 4, line 5, delete which, and then insert in its place, that is exempt under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. And that just provides a little more clarity of what we are trying to accomplish here.
Very good. You may address the bill then.
Okay, address it all at the same. Okay.
Sure.
House Bill 1113 was brought to me, and then we brought it to the Department of Revenue to clarify and help with a problem that's going on in the state. It all stems from, for an example, I'm going to use myself. If I want to donate my car to a nonprofit in the state of South Dakota, I or that entity has to pay a sales tax on that car. With this bill, the intent of the sale of that car is actually to go to an end user so that nonprofit can use the funds to promote their cause within the state of South Dakota. So what we're asking to do is take that tax away and just simply tax the end user of that with the excise tax of 4%. And that's exactly what line 20 does. Any motor vehicle transferred without consideration to any South Dakota nonprofit that is exempt under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code, and that organization which sells the motor vehicle within 45 days. We're allowing them to have 45 days to get that car off their books. After that point, that's a different discussion for a different day. But that's what the intent of this bill does. Myself, Representative Beal, and Representative Mickelson worked with the Department of Revenue to work on this bill. So I'd encourage you to pass this and move it to the House floor. Thank you very much. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any further proponents to House Bill 1113? Further proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1113? Any opponents? Seeing none, we're going to wait just a second. We've got a little bit of a discussion. We might need a title amendment on this. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take care of this amendment first, and then we can move forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stalzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 1113-OA.
Okay, Representative Stalzer moves the amendment, and Representative Schoenbeck seconds. Any discussion?
No, just the author should have his bill in the position or the way that he wants it, and so therefore I'll move the amendment.
Okay. I don't see any other. This will be a voice vote. So all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the amendment has passed. Now we need to address the title amendment of the... Oh, we got to act on the bill first. That's right. Okay, we need questions and comments for the sponsor. Representative Warner has one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask the sponsor a question. I understand the intent here, and I'm fine with that, but I'm just trying to figure out, maybe I'm missing something here. So if a nonprofit receives the vehicle, they're exempt from it, but they have 45 days to transfer it. So what happens at the end of 45 days if they don't get it transferred? Are they then responsible for coming in to pay the fee? You follow my question?
Yes. Thank you, Representative Alex Jensen. Again, I'm going to phone a friend, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I'd suggest a lifeline.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rosa Yeager, attorney for the Department of Revenue. If I may answer that, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
In your situation there, if they went past the 45 days and they still had the vehicle in their name, the nonprofit, that vehicle would then be subject to motor vehicle excise tax. So essentially the department is going to keep track of what is being transferred into their names. If they keep it for longer than 45 days, then they will have to pay the excise tax on it.
So would the department then give them notice? Because they've noticed the title hadn't transferred. Will they send them a notice that they would be subject to paying the tax?
Mr. Chair. The department does intend to put something in the system to make it so that we have a ticker, so we know that after 45 days they need a letter to say, here's the excise tax that you owe at this point. And that's for the nonprofits that do keep the vehicles, because there are some that keep them for use, for their daily use.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing no further questions, we'll end the discussion there. Do you need any rebuttal? I don't think so, since there was no... Okay. Thank you very much. Any action by the committee? Representative?
I make a motion to do pass.
As amended.
Representative Warner makes a do pass motion as amended, and Representative Duvall seconds. We'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representative Feikert?
Aye.
Schramm?
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Werner?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
And Virtue?
Aye.
12 yay, 1 excused.
I'm sorry, I was passing on a message and I didn't get out to the...
12 yay.
Okay, thank you. House Bill 1113, as amended, will go to the floor with a due pass. Yes, Representative Duvall.
I would like to move a title amendment.
Second.
Thank you.
Representative Duvall moves a title amendment, seconded by Representative Schoenbeck.
You'd like to hear the title? All right. It will read, an act to exempt from the excise tax on motor vehicles the transfer of motor vehicles to a nonprofit organization under certain conditions. Would you like me to read that again? Everybody's good? Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the title amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The title is amended. Okay, so we've got two bills down to the floor, SB 35 and HB 1113. And we have the most controversial bill coming up now. The sponsor is very determined to get this passed. So this is House Bill 1095. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1095?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Mary Duvall from District 24. And this is a bill that comes from the Department of Revenue. Last year, the legislature passed unanimously House Bill 1132, which deals with the amount of time a vehicle dealer has to transfer a title. We changed it from 30 days to 45 days, but that only deals with vehicles transferred by a motor dealer. The Department of Revenue is suggesting that we make that 45-day time frame consistent throughout the entire chapter so that everybody has 45 days to transfer the title. And with that, I'm going to end my testimony and call a friend. Thank you.
Very good. You're getting a lot of phone calls today.
I am. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rosa Yeager, attorney for the Department of Revenue. Just like Representative Duvall stated, this is really a cleanup for us. We'd really like to keep it consistent, 45 days for our customers. It makes it easier for them. It makes them easier for the county treasurers, and it makes it easier for us. If you have any specific questions, I can answer those, but this is really just a 30 to 45 day switch for us.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Welcome back, Mr. Rao.
Thank you. I'm Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association. When I was called about this bill, I said I would take the beating, and that's what I'm here to do. You probably remember, and Representative Duvall championing a bill for us last year that increased the days to deliver title by dealers in the state from 30 to 45 days, and I missed some sections. It was much more monumental of a task than I took on, and we got it done for the dealers. It's been working well, but we missed, like I say, a bunch of sections, and that's what this does. It clears it up, so I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Any opponents to House Bill 1095? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into committee questions and comments. Seeing none, we'll move into committee action. Representative Stalzer.
Yes, I move due pass.
Representative Stalzer moves due pass, seconded by Representative Rounds. Was it Rounds? Oh, okay. You confused me when you pointed it to your neighbor there. Okay, Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Feikert.
Aye.
Schrempp.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
12 yes, 1 excused.
Chair. Any fruit?
Second. Third.
Representative Bolin.
I move consent.
Seconded by Representative Rounds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed. Thank you. We'll go to consent calendar on 1095. Passed down to the floor for consent. Thank you very much. I have one question here for Senator Steinhauer or Representative Steinhauer. Would you be the representative for the department on SB 35 on the floor? Thank you. And I assume the other sponsors wanted to handle their own bills. Very good. Okay, any other comments?
Move to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.